top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens.
Good afternoon. This is the midday news for today, Monday, April 8th, 2024.
As it happens,
I am Richie Farrell.
We're
in the headlines. DFP President Johnson Boston condemns any political interference in court matters involving opposition members and supports Justice Colin Williams' call to expedite justice in the magistrates' court. UNEX says 24 participants from 8 member states were urged to strive for excellence on 5th April at an inaugural ceremony for Unity Exercise 24 and to pursue common objectives through strength and unity.
And global only.
And the United Nations Atomic Watchdog has called for restraint after the
right on cue.
Zaporizhia nuclear plant in Ukraine was hit by a drone attack, raising the risk of a major nuclear accident. The news brought to you with the very kind compliments of Court Dominica Limited. More details coming up.
As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station.
Q95. Growth spurts might mean it's time for a bigger fridge. Don't worry, at Courts, we've got you with a TCL 16.5 cubic feet fridge for only $3,199. Or maybe you're ready to turn your home entertainment up a notch. That means a larger TV. We've got you with an LG 60-inch smart UHD smart 4K TV. Excited about making your new home feel more like you? We've got you. Get the Perth 3-piece living room set with a cup holder for only $5,299. Or shop Ashley Furniture for great deals and free furniture pieces today. Need a better mattress for more restful sleep? We've got the size and comfort that's right for you. Save $450 on the Restonic Comfort Care Pillow Top Queen Mattress. Save today and pay later. Whatever you need, we've got you. With up to 30% off store-wide. Courts, bringing value home.
Welcome back. DFP President Johnson Boston agrees with the issues and recommendations outlined by Justice Colin Williams on the operations and inadequate hearings in the Magistrates Court. After the September session of the High Court, coinciding with Assistant Superintendent Handel Joseph's report on prison delivery, Joseph revealed that among the 261 inmates currently held at the Dominica State Prison, a staggering 131 constitute the remand population. To address this pressing issue, he advocated for a more expeditious handling of court proceedings. Speaking at the close of the January session of the High Court, Justice Williams asserted the rule of law is being compromised by systemic failures within the judicial system. Mr. Boston contends that over the past decade, he has witnessed political interference from some government officials in certain court matters involving select opposition members.
So what we've been seeing in recent time is the justice system now are being heavily burdened with partisan decisions or approaches, and we have seen a situation where there's a certain level of political mischief taking place, and outside of that too, we have seen a number of persons who have matters before the courts, and the matters have been delayed. I was speaking to somebody who said to me, I mean, they have a matter so long before the court, they even forget what the matter is about.
DFP President Johnson Boston. Mervyn Alexander, president of the Dominica Teachers Association, DAT, has issued a rallying call to all teachers across the island, urging them to join forces and become part of the association's collective effort to address pressing issues. Alexander emphasized the significance of unity, noting that the number of concerns raised by non-members has risen compared to those brought forth by members. He stressed the importance of solidarity in tackling these issues effectively. He spoke on state-owned radio.
I call on all teachers who are not yet part of DAT. The time has come for you to get on board. We can only get what we want if we are a united force. And I said DAT is the agency responsible, represents teachers. Whether you are a member or not, DAT represents you. In fact, for the last couple of months, we have represented more non-members than members, because more non-members came to us with issues than members. Fortunately, they realized their mistake, so they became members. So we fight for all teachers in Dominica. The strength of the association to advocate for teachers and for school educators is found in the unity of our members. Today, more than ever before, there are challenges facing education and educators. So we have to stand up together and fight these challenges. By being part of your professional organization, because we are all teachers, and only a teacher knows what happens in the classroom. And only a teacher can tell you what is going on in the classroom. Somebody from us, I cannot tell you, because they're not experiencing it. So we have to think about those things. This is a teachers' organization representing the interest of teachers.
And that was DAT President Mervyn Alexander. You're tuned in with Q95 News. Blossom Dominica, a major fashion show which was held on April 6, 2024 at the Realm Restaurant, has been dubbed a resounding success by CEO Kamara Matthew. Speaking to Q95 News on Monday, Ms. Matthew said many people got an opportunity to experience Dominica's story from slavery days to current representation of Dominica's culture.
On the 6th of April, we put on the production that we promised, and it really was very intimate. Many persons got an opportunity to relive Dominica's story in a beautiful, creatively painted way, and persons were just in awe. There were people in tears. There were people that were just, let me tell you, I'm saying this to you and I'm getting goosebumps, because it was really, really, really intimate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the feedback from persons after the event was just phenomenal. Persons were asking about the next 2025 show, because persons said, like, okay, if this is what you're putting on for the first production, the second one, they expect it to be totally epic. Yeah. The next production, we're looking to include our Kalinago brothers and sisters. We are looking to even go beyond the slavery. One gentleman commented and said that, you know, our story began way before slavery, and so this is something that we have to factor in. And I've taken note, but in truth and in fact, I was really pleased with the production that the models put on, the poems that really depicted our experience during slavery, the songs that we sang, and it just really tied in beautiful together. The weather was amazing. The weather was just...
CEO of Blossom Dominica, Kamara Matthew, treasurer of the Concerned Citizens Movement, John Blanchard, has expressed concern over the direction of the DLP administration, suggesting that its actions are having a detrimental effect on the nation. He pointed out to the departure of Ross University from Dominica as a prime example, noting that it resulted in a substantial 30% loss in the local economy as measured by the country's gross domestic product, GDP. Blanchard emphasized the significant contribution that institution had made to Dominica's economy before its departure.
This Labour Party cabal is destroying the country. There's no doubt about it in people. There is no doubt about it, you know. This Labour Party cabal is destroying the country. They caused Ross University to leave Dominica, and as a result of that departure, the local economy registered a 30% lost in GDP. Do you all understand what that really means? It means for every dollar in revenue that the country got, Ross University was contributing 30 cents. So now it has gone. We have lost 30% of our GDP. Obviously, that is going to put a big hole in the economy. Can you see what's happening in Dominica right now? How we are struggling? Businesses are closing down. People can't pay their bills. That is part of the reason. A substantial amount of our revenue, which was generated from Ross, has gone. It has left us. And it's put us in a big hole.
John Blanchard has underscored the Prime Minister's ongoing dealings with China, which he believes are conducted without considering the interests of the Dominican people. John Blanchard noted the trend of local businesses closing down and being replaced by Chinese-owned enterprises on the island.
We have also seen this sweetheart relationship between Roosevelt and China, which has not been in the benefit of the country. And I said Roosevelt and China, not Dominica and China. What has happened as a result of this Roosevelt-China relationship? What happened? The closure of indigenous businesses and replaced with what? Chinese firms selling inferior products to the citizens of this country. That is what we have seen. Our locals are closing shop, closing their businesses, and the Chinese is being replaced by Chinese firm selling cheap, inferior products to us. I'd like to ask a question tonight. What is Dominica trading with China? According to our Prime Minister, they're supposed to be our best friend. According to Skerritt, he said China is our best friend. But I ask the question tonight, what are we trading with China? How much money are we getting from China for the sale of our water or produce or whatever it is? Nothing. We have water in abundance. And I keep saying that, I said it several times before, we have water in abundance. At least they could have a market to purchase our water by bulk. We don't have to go through that whole processing thing and so on and bottling water for them and so on. You sell it raw, sell by bulk. 1 cent US per gallon.
And that was CCM Treasurer John Blanchard speaking on the CCM program last Friday. During a diplomatic ceremony on Friday, Sonia Cope, the Australian High Commissioner to the Commonwealth of Dominica, presented her credentials to Dominica's President, Her Excellency Sylvanie Burton. During the exchange, President Burton referenced Australia's pledge made at last year's 28th Conference of Parties, COP28, to bolster its climate finance efforts and re-engage with the Green Climate Fund. The commitment entails a contribution of 15 million Australian dollars, that's approximately 9,880,000 USD, dedicated to the Loss and Damage Fund. This reaffirms Australia's commitment to addressing climate change impacts and supporting global mitigation and adaptation efforts.
Worthy of noting is the decision taken by Australia at COP28 to strengthen its climate finance commitment and rejoin the Green Climate Fund with a contribution of 50 million Australian dollars to support those most vulnerable to the urgent threat posed by climate crisis. Your Excellency, as small island developing states, Dominica and the rest of the Caribbean are particularly vulnerable to natural disasters due to climate change phenomena, and we welcome the focus of Australia in assisting small island developing states in developing their resilience to climate change and natural disasters. Your Excellency, we look forward to the growing presence of Australia in the Caribbean region and to further strengthening of relationships both bilaterally and multilaterally in dealing with the challenges confronting small island developing states and coastal states, and more particularly the devastating effect of climate change, rising incidents of crime and violence, threats to global security, degradation of our ecosystem and loss of biodiversity, poverty, inequality, and the growing challenge of chronic non-communicable diseases, all of which threaten our sustainable growth and development and peaceful way of life.
President of the Commonwealth of Dominica, Sylvanie Burton. Meanwhile, the Australian High Commissioner reiterated Australia's support for Dominica, emphasizing the numerous contributions made to the country as part of their ongoing partnership.
Australia values the relationship between our two countries, including our close cooperation, as we share strong mutual interests in working together to respond to global challenges, including combating climate change, advancing human rights, and promoting international security. Australia is very pleased to be supporting Dominica to achieve its sustainable development goals through Australia's direct aid program. Since 2005, Australia has funded approximately 52 community-led development projects in Dominica, valued at over 900,000 Australian dollars. Australia was also pleased to have been able to support Dominica's recovery in the wake of Hurricane Maria in 2017, by committing 1.5 million Australian dollars in support via the United Nations Population Fund and International Organization for Migration to construct core housing for vulnerable families in Dominica. We look forward to partnering with other organizations in the future to continue to deliver development outcomes for communities in Dominica.
And that was Sonia Kopp, Australian High Commissioner to the Commonwealth of Dominica. This is Q95 News. Following his visit from China to celebrate the 20th anniversary of diplomatic relations between the Commonwealth of Dominica and the People's Republic of China, Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit told the media at a press briefing on April 5, 2024, that although deals agreed on for Dominica's tourism sector did not include hotels, it does, however, include major infrastructural development for that sector. The Prime Minister announced that a new cruise ship port and cruise village will be developed, along with various training programs for Dominicans in the hospitality sector, led by Chinese experts in that field.
On tourism, the whole idea is to encourage people to visit Dominica, to come to Dominica, visit Dominica, to invest in tourism-related infrastructure, hotels, real estate, second homes for people living overseas or Chinese who like to have a second home in Dominica. The whole idea of under the Belt and Road Initiative, for example, there are several aspects that we can benefit from when we sign this agreement with the Chinese. So while you do not have any commitment to build a hotel, but in engaging the private sector and also the government system. And also in regards to trading of people too. As you know, China has exceptional customer service, because one of the things that we have to do in Dominica is to ensure that we can get our service to a five-star level everywhere in Dominica, at the airports, at the restaurants, at the hotels, within the government system, everywhere. Because you can have a hotel that's five-star, but the service is not five-star. And so it's better for you to have a two-star hotel and a five-star service so that the guest experience is paramount. So we will be receiving support from China in respect to training. If it comes to culinary arts, for example, you know, we certainly have to have a improved and increased offering to our guests in terms of the various culinary offerings and the presentation and the variety of it.
Mr. Skerrit promised that in the near future, efforts will be made by his negotiating team to develop more comprehensive tourism programs with the government of the People's Republic of China.
So we'll be defining with the Chinese government modules that will allow Dominicans to go to China on short courses for training, but also to get the Chinese to bring trainers into Dominica so that even more people can be exposed in a shorter period of time. And of course, you have the issue of the cruise village. This is something that we put before the Chinese. We have to submit some more documents for them for their consideration. And we believe that also will assist in a dramatic way with tourism in Dominica and the guest service and the guest experience, because the reality is we have to move much faster with the construction of the cruise village, new cruise ship port, because the cruise ship that have been constructed are bigger than those now. And so we have to move to that to the next level. So I believe that. And the whole idea, what we're seeking to do too, and we'll follow up with the Chinese on, is to see whether we can have a cooperation with the Chinese on tourism similar to agriculture. Okay, so that's something we're going to be follow up in more details with them on. And so we have this more structured arrangement with them. We've committed financing, funding, as we have for the Agricultural Technical Mission. I believe because tourism and services, certainly for Dominica, is the way to go. You know, because we really need more people in Dominica to consume more so that we can have greater economic activity.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit. Glenroy Soso Coffee has outlined the United Workers Party administration's approach when they were in government as one that included a backup plan concerning planting materials to bolster farmers' support. This underscored the administration's steadfast commitment to fostering the growth and progression of the agricultural sector. Moreover, he shed light on the deficiency of agricultural training centers in Dominica, hindering additional support to farmers.
In terms of the history of our agriculture, we have always had backup in terms of planting materials, where we had a propagation center, where we'd allow the technocrats there, the extension officers to get involved, into the whole propagation of planting material. So we always had a large quantity of planting material, whether it's bananas, plantain, cocoa, whatever it is, we had that there so that we could send out in the fields. Today we have seen the demise of our agricultural training centers, and they no longer exist, which means that we don't have any more training facilities for farmers. However, one of the techniques that we developed too as well, knowing that we were extension officers, we were the technical people, the interface between the farmer and the producer organization. We did not only tell farmers about what research is all about, because we are the research arm of the industry, where they did a lot of trials, and we ourselves had to take back that technology to the farmer. Some of the farmers were reluctant to do it, or some did not get the results. We had to come back and say, look, researcher, good work, but so far this cannot work in this area, and they'll go back and look at it. And these are the things that we had.
Mr. Coffey emphasized another aspect of the initiative aimed at enhancing the sector, offering farmers training and establishing model farmers. This approach enables other farmers in their vicinity to emulate their success and develop their own agricultural endeavors.
We extended the master technical people. We extended it through the farmers. So the good farmers, what we do, we train them in the respective catchment areas and allow them to have model farms, so that farmers in the area, in their immediate area, could come on their farms and see what we used to do. So we work with everybody, but we also used to have model farmers with their model farms, so that the neighboring farmers could, from time to time, go and get their education, and we could have farmers lead the discussion into everything. I think the FAO some years ago introduced what they call school field farming, or field school for farmers, where they actually took the approach to do it on farm. That was more or less in Asia area, the Philippines and so forth. But that in itself was sort of related to our condition as well. And so we adopted that kind of approach to have model farms, where we train farmers in various techniques. And in terms of integrated pest management techniques, where farmers would use less pesticide, where we encourage farmers to grow closer so that they can form canopies. Their cropping system would allow them to have canopies, so they have less intervention in terms of spraying applications. We'd have farmers do their drains to lower the water level, so that you can have more aeration and proper root development of the crops. So much has been done, and all of this now has just evaporated. So we're talking about, if we are to revive the rural economy, then these are some of the things that we need to revisit.
United Workers Party member Glenroy Soso Coffey. On Friday, April 5th, 2024, the inaugural ceremony for Unity Exercise 24 took place at the Castries Comprehensive Secondary School Auditorium. The event was graced by the presence of Commissioner of Police Crusita de Cartes Pelias, Lieutenant Colonel Roberto Beltran, the Staff Officer of Exercises of the Regional Security System, Deputy Commissioner of Police Wayne Charlie, Gazetted Officers of the Royal St. Lucia Police Force, delegates from the Regional Security System, RSS, and Canadian Armed Forces. During the ceremony, the assembled representatives from the 8 participating member states observed attentively as the momentous exercise was commemorated. Commissioner Pelias delivered key remarks emphasizing the need for continued collaboration among regional counterparts. She also underscored the significance of ongoing training to adapt to the evolving criminal landscape. In a similar vein, Lieutenant Colonel Beltran echoed Commissioner Pelias's sentiments, urging all to strive for excellence and enhance our collective resilience. Their shared remarks serve as a clear indication that regional leaders are aligned in their pursuit of common objectives, seeking strength through unity. You're tuned in with Q95 News. A new drone attack on Ukraine's Zaporizhzhia power plant has raised the risk of a major nuclear accident. The UN's atomic watchdog has warned. Russia and Ukraine was behind the attack, which it said injured 3 people. Ukraine has denied involvement. The giant Russian-held nuclear plant with 6 reactors is on the front line of the Russia-Ukraine conflict. The UN's International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, has repeatedly warned against such attacks. IAEA head Rafael Grossi said Sunday's drone attack was reckless and a major escalation of the nuclear safety and security dangers facing the plant. The Zaporizhzhia plant in southern Ukraine is the largest in Europe. Russian forces seized it shortly after launching their February 2022 full-scale invasion and have occupied it since then. The facility stopped generating power in 2022, but needs a constant supply of electricity to cool one of its reactors, which is in a state of conservation, meaning it is not fully offline.
Ukraine has strongly denied its involvement in a recent drone strike on an occupied Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. On Sunday, the IAEA condemned the strike, saying such attacks significantly increase the risk of a major nuclear accident. Ukraine suggested the explosion may be a simulated strike by Russia. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on Sunday called again on the US Congress to unblock aid for Ukraine.
That's the midday news. Here's a recap of our headlines. DFP President Johnson Boston condemns any political interference in court matters involving opposition members and supports Justice Colin Williams.
Wherever it happens, local.
He supports Justin Colin Williams's call to expedite justice in the magistrates' court. UNEX 24 participants from 8 member states were urged to strive for excellence on 5th April at an inaugural ceremony for Unity Exercise 24 and to pursue common objectives through strength and unity.
As it happens, when it happens.
And the United Nations Atomic Watchdog has called for restraint
Q95
after the Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant in Ukraine was hit by a drone attack, raising the risk of a major nuclear accident. The news was brought to you with the very kind compliments of Quartz Dominica Limited. I've been your presenter, Richie Farrell.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens.